All right, we're going to continue in our series of prophecy and the Christian. And what I am seeking to do as your pastor is to help you and myself to help us navigate through these days with discernment, holding tightly to the truth of the Scriptures. It's the Scriptures' sufficiency. And to be able to spot error when it comes at us, and because it is. The media and the incredible communication lines that are out there have flooded us with all kinds of different thoughts and ideas, different people, their quote-unquote ministries, and the Lord has just laid it upon my heart to address these things, and I trust that these will be helpful to you. Last time we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 13, we're going to go a few chapters further and look at Deuteronomy chapter 18 tonight. And you might ask, well, Pastor, why are we looking at these passages in Deuteronomy when we're New Testament believers? Well, I believe it is very important. I believe the Old Testament is foundational for us as the church. Even though we live in the new covenant under Jesus Christ, God established some precedents throughout the Old Testament, and I believe it is important for us to understand them. Last time we saw in Deuteronomy chapter 13 that the importance of scriptural integrity, that a prophet be one who holds soundly to God's revelation that has already been given. In other words, what a prophet speaks will agree with what God has already spoken. God's word, spoken word through a prophet, will not be in disagreement with what he has already said. Deuteronomy 18 is yet another place where Moses addresses prophets. This is a real interesting passage. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful passage. It's got a lot of truth. You're going to see a very clear thrust forward to Jesus in this passage. And this is Moses, and Moses is here sharing with the people of Israel, this generation that has wandered now for 40 years, but the parents have died, and the young ones now are ready to enter into the promised land. Moses is reviewing the law with them, reviewing it because they were young when it was first given. And in his review of the law, he addresses prophets. Now, context of this passage, and if you look at this, you're going to see in verse 9 these words, "When thou art come into the land." And so that's a very key contextual clue here for what he's getting at. I'm preparing you for when you get into the promised land. So when you get into the land which the Lord thy God giveth you, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. And then he proceeds to give a list of what those abominations were. Now, it is no mistake that this is all in this context of prophets. I believe that God ordered his word exactly how he wanted it. And notice what this list includes. Verses 10, 11, and 12. "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before you. Thou shalt be perfect," or whole, or complete, "with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do." So what is Moses addressing? Well, the nations of Canaan They desired to know more than what was naturally revealed to them. And so what they did was they took steps to seek to speak with the dead, to contact spirits, witchcraft, all of these different things, to try to understand more about life than what was just right there in front of them, what God had naturally revealed. And so they had taken steps to do these things which were evil in the sight of God. They were wanting to know more. Now, I want to tell you something. That is a natural inclination of man. We want to know more. We want and desire to know beyond what we see and touch. And it's exciting. And so when some TV person has this incredible revelation, or a book comes out with this new idea, what do? We flock to it. We long to understand and know, what is this new thing? Well, it's nothing's changed. The people of Israel, and the Lord knew this, and he's warning them, you're going to go into this land. You don't need what they have been doing. You have me. You catch that? Look at verse 13. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. You got me. You've got me. You don't need to resort to all these abominable practices to try to find out more. You've got me. So, again, at the close of verse 14, he says, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. It is not my will nor my plan for you to pursue these kinds of practices in order to understand what is beyond the natural realm. You've got me. Well, that's a beautiful segue into what he's about to talk about, prophets. Because if the Lord says, you are whole or perfect with me, then what that means is that I will take care of revealing to you what you need to know when you need to know it. I will handle that. And this is how I will do it. All right? So in other words, God has a desire to communicate with his people. That is part of his divine plan, to communicate with his people. And the same is true today. God desires to communicate with his people. Now, in the days of the people of Israel, he communicated his message to them through prophets. To his people Israel, he communicated his truth, his word, through prophets. Don't miss this important truth. God desires we know him. God desires we know his will. God will take care of communicating to us. I want to remind you, he's done this in his word, folks. For us, the church today, we have got his word, and we're studying that tonight. So that is the context that leads us up into Moses' declaration here about a prophet. Well, first of all, what we're going to see is a description of this prophet. Now, as you go through this text, I want you to pay special note to the description of the prophet. And I want you to consider how it's an introduction to God's plan of speaking to his people through prophets. You're going to see this underlying theme of, I'm going to use prophets to communicate my message. But over top of that, you're going to see a direct point to a prophet par excellence. I mean, a prophet who will completely fulfill all that we see here. And when you get to the New Testament, what you see is the is the New Testament writers begin to point back to this as they talk about Jesus. And you see Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment of what is written here. I love how the Bible fits together, and I want you to see these things. I want you to be excited how the Bible works together. Old Testament, New Testament, books of the law written by Moses, Jesus Christ in the Gospels, the book of Acts. They work together. All right, let's read down through the end of the chapter from verse 15 down to verse 22. The Lord thy God will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken for that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he hath spoken in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follows not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. And the prophet that hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So, what's the description that we see here of this prophet? A reminder, Moses is writing this. And what we have in this text is we have both Moses' writing and also Moses' recording of what the Lord says to him. So initially, what we have is verses 15 and 16, Moses speaking, and then following verses 17 there, the Lord is speaking. We see the description of this prophet. He will be caused to rise up by the Lord. The prophet will be raised up by the Lord thy God. Now, this is a very important distinction that the prophet has that mark. He is known as one who has been raised up by the Lord. Important distinction. He has not raised himself up. The Lord has raised him up. We also see here, from the midst of the people Israel, thy brethren, this prophet, and you see throughout the Old Testament, the prophets were of the people of Israel. And so this prophet will be raised up by the Lord thy God from the midst of the people of Israel. So he's telling this generation that stands outside of the promised land, you're going to go in, you're going to possess the land, you don't need all those abominable practices because you got me, and I'm going to speak to you through prophets, and ultimately the prophet whom I'm going to raise up from amongst your people. And he will be like Moses. Moses writes, he'll be like me. And it's interesting when you compare the two. Moses is described as a very meek man. You see the same description of Jesus in the New Testament. Moses really stands out in the Old Testament as a very special figure, one whom God spoke with directly. I mean, it's described in one passage, mouth to mouth, he spoke with Moses. So we have this description of the prophet, and then we see that there's going to be a difference in the way God communicates with his people from here on out. You see at Mount Horeb, which is where the law was given, remember God descended down upon the mountain? Remember how it was lightning and there was thunder and the people were just terrified. And they just cried out, "Don't do that anymore. We are afraid we're going to die, God." It's almost like God's showing up there and he's showing his power and he's showing his authority. And the people are terrified. They're afraid they're just going to die. And what does what's this passage say? The Lord says, you know what? You're right. You are right. The difference here in looking at the end of verse 15, unto him you shall hearken. So in other words, you're going to listen to this prophet. And this prophet will communicate in a different way. And I will communicate to him my word. And it's not going to be in the midst of all this fire and thunder. The people were afraid. And God chose to speak in much more, I guess, human-friendly terms. So what does the Lord say? He interjects here in verse 17 and he says, "They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet." So he repeats the description. "Like unto thee, Moses, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." What is the prophet going to say? The prophet is going to speak the words of the Lord. That which God himself commands or instructs him to say. It is interesting when you look through the Gospel of John, you see different times when Jesus says, "I have spoken what my Father has told me to say." It is interesting when you look through the Old Testament and you look at the different prophets, how often they will begin their prophecy with this phrase, "Thus saith the Lord." And so the Lord speaks here. And he says, "I will put my words in his mouth. He will speak unto them, the people of Israel, all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass." And you don't want to miss that important distinction here, because you see there at the end of the passage that we've already read, that is a very important marker of a true prophet of God. They are a true prophet when what they have said comes true. When what they have said is fulfilled. Now, so often generations of people were given prophecies that were generations out. But eventually those prophecies came true. And what did it do? It validated everything else that prophet had said. You have Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesying of the coming destruction of Israel and Judah, of the captivity and then the return. And these things happened. Notice here in verse 18, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." There is an authority given here. There is a respect given to God's messengers, the prophets. Specifically here, I see a reference to Jesus Christ. And we know that as Jesus ministered on the earth, the Jewish people, by and large, did not listen in what was required of them. They were held responsible for their unbelief. Listen to what Luke records for us in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, The triumphant entry has just taken place. In verse 41, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city," that's Jesus, "and he wept over it." In verse 42, "saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation." Jesus was a prophet, and he gives prophecies. And he speaks often of these things. And we're going to spend some time looking at how Jesus handles prophecy. But what you see here is this reality. If you're not, you don't listen, you're not listening to me, destruction comes. Destruction will come upon you. So now we turn a little bit to a description of a false prophet. Moses has described the prophet that will be raised up. And kind of underneath that, just pointing to how God is going to use prophets throughout Israel's history to communicate with them. And he does. He does, very clearly. But then you come to Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate fulfillment of that, the ultimate prophet. But what about false prophets? Look at verse 20. "But the prophet," notice his description, "which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." Well, how is he described? There's two descriptions here of a false prophet. One is a man who presumes he knows what the Lord's word is himself, and he speaks it. And he might say, "Thus says the Lord." But in his heart, he is speaking with a heart of pride, presuming upon what the Lord, what he thinks the Lord has said. He is a false prophet, for the Lord has not commanded him to speak those things. We've got to understand from this that to be a prophet, God would raise you up, and God would give you the words to say. This, I'm not a prophet, so I can't speak from experience, but this had to be something obvious. It had to be, and we know that God spoke to these men through dreams and through visions. God spoke to them sometimes through angels, and sometimes even directly. And it was obvious that God was raising them up. And it was obvious the message that God wanted to communicate with his people. And I got to tell you something. There were people who desired that kind of honor, to be one who speaks for the Lord. And also, you would have groups of people that would long to hear a message from the Lord, and so they would fabricate one. Someone in the group would come up with some fanciful saying and lead people astray. You see this in Jeremiah 14. Let's take a look at that example. In Jeremiah 14. I'll tell you, Jeremiah is a, he's known as the what? The weeping prophet. And why was he the weeping prophet? The people did not listen. The people did not listen to him. Look at Jeremiah 14, verse 13. "Then said I, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, You shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart." I mean, Jeremiah faced these He's out there prophesying the word of the Lord, and there are others going around saying they're speaking for the Lord with the exact opposite message for the people. What does that do? It creates incredible confusion. Listen, the devil knows how to work. And he will do these kinds of things to create confusion amongst his people. Conflicting messages. So, the false prophet speaks presumptuously in the name of the Lord. And also, there's a false prophet that speaks in the name of other gods. Now, that's kind of a lot more obvious. A prophecy in the name, I prophesy in the name of Baal or whatever. We know Jezebel had, I don't know how many prophets of Baal. So, what's the consequence for false prophets? They shall die. Now, what does that tell you about God's, what God thinks about someone that will pretend to speak for him? It is a very serious, serious thing. Application for us today, folks, is be careful. When people claim they are prophets speaking for the Lord, so Moses must have understood a little bit of the confusion that the people would have had, because he adds these two last section here, verses 21 and 22. Well, if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? How are we to know this is a false prophecy? Fair question, isn't it? How are we to know? This is the answer. Verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follows not, nor comes to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. You see what the key is? And this may be frustrating to you, it may be frustrating for me, but here's the key that this passage gives us, is that the fulfillment of what he says, and I believe 100% accuracy, when that is fulfilled, he's a true prophet. God can do that. God did do that. And we know from the New Testament and even from the Old Testament that there are many prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. And these were spoken by whom? By prophets who were validated by other things that they have said that have already been fulfilled. And so you can trust what they have said. And so God is giving the people of Israel this way to discern truth from error. And I trust that you and I are discerning, and that we tread carefully. Because there are prophets out today. They have prophesied, and they have prophesied again, because their first prophecy didn't come true. What do you make of that? What are we to think of this? That's a serious thing. To claim to speak for God, I've got a revelation from God, and then I have to retract it and give a new one. Is that the way God operates? Is that the way God works? I want to contend tonight from this passage that that's not the way God operates. God raises up the prophet. It is clear he gives him his word, and his word always, 100% of the time, comes true. If we believe anything else, then what do we do with this? Four things in application. First of all, God has put a definite plan in place to communicate with his people in a way that is safe, in a way that is clear, and in a way that is authoritative. This involved prophets. And you see that, you'll see many references in the New Testament, especially speaking of Jesus. In conjunction with this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I don't have to tell you that the Old Testament is full of prophets and their communications from God to the people. God chose to communicate, and this is the way he did it. Through human beings, just like you and me. It wasn't through lightning and storms like it was on the mountain, because the people, that terrified the people. No, God used people, used men, to communicate his truth. Secondly, God's word will always be right and true. God does not deal kindly with one who seeks to gain attention as a prophet, yet he is not a speaker of truth. And you see this play out throughout the Old Testament. Three, true prophets know what they speak. They know that it's the very word of God. Pay attention in your Bible reading when you see the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord." How often do you hear so-called prophets today boldly say such a term? Do they dare? I'm sure there are some. I'm sure there are some. Fourthly, God has given his people what they need to discern who is truly speaking the words of God. They will always be 100% accurate in their predictions. We see that from the Word of God. You know, there's a great interest and fascination in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation has a lot of prophecy and future events in it, doesn't it? You see, God, that is a revelation from Jesus Christ. I trust you understand that, as it's Jesus Christ revealing these truths to John, and Jesus Christ can be trusted. His word can be trusted. You have, I've already said, the prophets have spoken of things to come. They can be trusted because other things they have said have already taken place. 100% accuracy. It means that the hearers of the prophecies will be given some glimpse of the prophet's predictive accuracy, or another means by which God will authenticate their message. If God wants you to know his message, his will, he will make it clear for you. He will make it clear for us. You see, the prophets spoke, and they spoke the words of the Lord. And then the people had a choice whether to believe or not to believe. We encounter the Word of God today as the church. And notice, I keep going back to the Word of God because I believe that is our authority in our day. And we see truth being declared. And we see how God authenticated the messengers, the writers. We can trust it. So, the lesson tonight is really, I think, twofold. We understand that God has chosen to communicate with his people through prophets. And he did that. Ultimately, we see it fulfilling there in Jesus Christ. We know also that the Bible talks about two witnesses that will come. They will be testifying to God's people once again. In the days of the tribulation, God has a plan to communicate with his people, and he's done that throughout history. Some of those prophecies have been recorded for our day, for our age in the church. We also understand and know and see Jesus Christ in this passage. He was the perfect fulfillment. He was referenced in the Gospel of John many times as the one that Moses spoke of. It's a reference to this passage. When you read the Gospel of John, clue in to when you see that. Jesus, he's a prophet. And that, dear ones, should cause us to sit up and listen to what he says. Because when he speaks the words of God. He's authenticated, he's true, he's the real deal. And what he says will come to pass. Lord, I pray that you would give discernment to us as your people today. Admittedly, Lord, there is much confusion even in the church concerning this matter. But I want to thank you for giving us the written word of God. Your word that stands with equal authority with the messages of these prophets from the Old Testament and the ones that you spoke through. And Lord, I pray that we would trust your word and that we would be content and satisfied within it. There is so much yet to know and understand. There is so much to look forward to. Lord, I pray for pastors and speakers that you would give us careful lips. That, Lord, as we speak of prophecy, that we speak understanding that we are just communicating what you've already revealed in your word. And that we give credit to where credit is due. This is your word, the written word of God. I ask that you would give us a satisfaction in your word. Give us discernment. Show us those that are speaking error. And keep your church from them, from being deceived. Keep us true to the mission that we have from you, the mission of declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep us true. May we not be distracted. But at the same time, Lord, continue to flood your church with hope. Because, God, you've told us you're coming again. That's a prophecy. And, God, we believe it and we look forward to that day. But until that day, you've given us a mission. Keep us on track, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.